Morning. Morning, everybody. Wave, let me either say or hello. Right, good. Well, looks like we froze the screen, all that action all at one time. We'll just keep testing it. Hope each of your Wednesdays is treating you well so far. Yes, yay or nay? Yeah, we're doing all right. I've been around long enough, you know, that I usually look to the lectionary readings for the week to try to discern what we need to hear from the Lord today. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One is that it takes me places that might not go normally, or toward subject matter that might not be my first choice. And it also helps me stay away from my hobby horses. You know, those kinds of verses that if you got to speak in a moment, that's what you bring. So the readings for this week proved up to the past. One more time, took me places that I would not typically go. So you do know, the lectionary readings include passages from different parts of the scriptures. There's always an Old Testament reading. There's a reading from the Psalms. There is a reading from the New Testament. And there's a reading from one of the Gospels. And those who are discerning in the process of determining what scriptures should be included in those places find scriptures that that help address a theme. So the reading from the Old Testament today, there are actually two. The first one is from the book of Deuteronomy. The second is from Psalm 15. The third comes from the book of James. The gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. So those of you who have had to preach or teach along the way, Deuteronomy, Psalm, James, and Mark, you could see how those four could go together. Well, there's one more that's included in this list, and it's the Song of Solomon. All right, so just process that for a minute. Deuteronomy, James, a Psalm, Mark, and Song of Solomon. All right, so I got your attention, I hope, and we'll see how those passages go. So I need you to grab either your Bible or your phone, or if you have the screen wide enough to pull up the scripture so that you can see the screenshot and also see the scriptures. That'd be good, because I need you to see the things in those texts and not just hear them. I think it'll help connect the dots. It'll help us get to the place that I think I want us to go. And while you're looking, I was thinking about this. It reminded me of the old sword drills that we used to do in Sunday school. Anybody know sword drills? All right. So we'd have our Bibles in front of us, and we'd hold them up just like this. And everybody was ready to go. And then they'd say, find Psalm 23. And we'd all flip our Bibles open to it. And then as soon as you got it, you stood, right? Yes? All right. So if you have your scriptures, let me see if you've got your sword ready to go here. All right. Okay. I think we're well armed. So first passage is from Deuteronomy 4. Okay, so just take a second and find Deuteronomy 4. And the scripture lesson is longer than what I'm going to read here, but it's this first collection of ideas, and I want to read right from the outset. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I'm teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. And then if you take a minute and you can look down through the rest of the passage, the balance of the text gives examples and details of how Israel can obey God's command to them to give heed to the statutes and ordinances so that they can occupy and enter the land. So then there's a variety of ways of things that they can do to make that happen. Okay, the psalm for the day is Psalm 15. So if you'll turn to Psalm 15. I think I've been in some church services when the pastor asks to look for scriptures, everybody would say amen when they found it, but everybody's on mute, and so it wouldn't matter if you said amen or not. So I'm hoping that you're there. Okay, Psalm 15. Start again with verse 1. The psalmist writes, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And the answer is, those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. And then again, if you read through the rest of the psalm, the balance of that psalm provides more details and examples of how and what a person or a people should do to be in right relationship with God. Everybody there? Looks about right. So one could see why the committee would combine or connect this psalm with the passage in Deuteronomy. So far, so good. So the passage in James is found in the middle of chapter 1. So take a second and move to James 1. And the longer reading starts with verse 17 and ends with verse 27. But in the middle of that selection, that pericope, the author says this: Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. And then again, the run-up to that, and then the past scriptures on the other side. It impacts why to do, what to do, and how to do that, and what happens if you don't stay in step with the Father of lights and what he expects of his children. So we're 3 for 3. Agree? All right. Then turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Mark 7. And in this passage, we see the account of one of Jesus's interactions, times that he was communicating with the Pharisees. That's a nice word, interacting with the Pharisees. They are fussing, which I think was one of their spiritual gifts. And they were just sure that Jesus could not be who people were saying he was, because their disciples had started their lunch, but they hadn't washed their hands first. So this is pre-COVID. And it's not even good hygiene, because my mom always said, you got to wash your hands before you come to dinner and make sure you wipe them on the towel before you get there. And so they raised this issue and this is how they're supposed to behave. And Jesus insightfully responds to the Pharisees. He quotes Isaiah, always helpful. He calls them hypocrites, which might not be the best way to win friends and influence people. And then he says to the Pharisees, you abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. The Pharisees are guilty of not doing what God had told them to do. It's the backside of what happens when a person does not live in alignment with what God says to them, follow my ways, embrace this path, lean into me. Well, four for four. I think all four of those would work. You could build a sermon series out of those four if you needed. But it brings us to the other scripture for today, and it's a song in the Song of Solomon. So I need you to look, turn to chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 8. And allow me to read the entire selection from, it's from 8 to 13. Everybody there? Sometimes this one I have to look up in the front of the Bible to make sure I get there, because I'm not sure what page number it is all the time. Okay, everybody good? All right. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give fragrance. So arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Right, so just take a sec. You see the connection? Let me suggest that there is a thread that ties all five of these passages together. And it begins with the verse that says, my beloved speaks. And he says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. In each of the passages, God has revealed to us how a person or how a people can live in the fullness of life that God offers to every person who gives themselves heart, soul, and mind to him. But the invitation in the Song of Solomon does not include a list of statutes and ordinances to follow, or an itemization of ways to do what is right, or an injunction to rid ourselves of ungodly behavior, or to be careful not to fall into the Pharisees' trap of hypocrisy. Instead, God, the beloved, beckons his loved one, or really his loved ones, to come away with him. Now, originally, this loved one was probably the people of Israel, called by God to bless the world. Today, I think it also can be understood as any person or any people who make God their beloved. God will go with the loved ones wherever he leads. And isn't it a beautiful place that God leads us to? Such poetic, descriptive, sweet language to describe what Jesus calls the abundant life, now and later. The abundant life that God has for those who belong to him. So listen to the description one more time. For now the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Wow. Sounds like heaven to me. And then at the end of the passage, our beloved says to us, the loved ones, one more time, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So let's take him up on his offer. Amen.